We've heard some unusual ideas about rest on this episode. But ASMR is not for everyone. Dreams are hard to control. And human hibernation is not going to happen for a very long time. So we wanted to wrap up our episode with a story from a friend of the show, a reminder that so many of us seem to need, that taking time to relax and reset every day can make the difference between being resilient and burning out.
I got sick, like really sick. And I was like, this is it. Something's got to change.
This is Celeste Headley.
I am a longtime journalist with NPR and PBS and others.
In 2015, Celeste gave a TED Talk called 10 Ways to Have a Conversation.
So I have 10 basic rules. I'm going to walk you through all
and
of them.
And it went viral, really viral.
And master it, you're already going to enjoy better conversations.
And when the talk first came out, Celeste was delighted at all the attention her ideas got. But she soon realized that she didn't know how to handle all the opportunities that came along with all that attention.
I was still hosting a daily news show Monday through Friday, and I was still a single mother, and I started trying to fit all of those speaking engagements and other things into my existing schedule. And then I got a book deal, and I decided to fit that into my schedule and not take any time off to write the book either, and it just snowballed.
I mean, Celeste, to some people, this sounds like a Cinderella story, like single mom becomes public radio host, gives TED Talk, becomes big thought leader celebrity.
Yes, it is all those great things that you just said. And yes, it's an incredible privilege on my part. And I understand how many of the odds I'm beating. Like, I'm a single mother woman of color at that point in my 40s. But the more incredible the offers became, the harder and more impossible it was to say no.
So she didn't say no.
So I would get up at 6 a.m., go in, do the radio show, straight from the radio show to the airport, fly to whatever city I was going to. Sometimes I had a pre-recorded interview, which meant I needed to rush to my hotel and set up my little travel studio really quickly so I could record from the hotel room. And then I would get up the next morning. Either I'd do the keynote that night, depending, or get up the next morning, deliver the keynote, rush back to the airport, get on a plane, and then be on the radio again the following day so that I could only miss one day of work.
It's a lot.
It was insane.
Okay, so you kept going for a few years, and that's when you got really sick, and you decided you wanted to figure out why you felt so bad when you were doing work that you loved, but couldn't keep going.
Yeah. I began to start doing research into why I was so overworked, how to fix my schedule and fix what was going wrong in my own life.
Mm-hmm.
And once I started doing that research and I started talking to my friends and saying, this is what I'm researching, trying to figure this out for myself, they were like, oh my God, when you find out, will you tell me? And I realized this wasn't my problem. It was our problem.
When you say our problem, like, what is the problem and whose is it? What do you mean?
I mean humanity. The problem is this addiction to hard work, to long hours of work, to a belief in just the inherently virtuous qualities of hard work and productivity. Hustle culture that at this point has become toxic. It's actually been toxic for a very long time. The toxicity has just raised to the point where it's not survivable anymore.
Celeste, you ended up turning that research into a book called Do Nothing, How to Break Away from Overworking, Overdoing, and Underliving. But I wonder, you know, is the problem that you're describing an American problem? Because, you know, I have some friends, not American friends, who are like, ugh, you Americans, you don't know how to go on vacation. But also, as the child of immigrants, I certainly see that a very strong work ethic exists for all kinds of people, often because they have no choice.
So really what we're living in right now is this concatenation of circumstances, right? There's several forces that joined together to become this overpowering wave. Yes, it was the Protestant work ethic. So you had religious leaders espousing the idea that God wants you to work hard, that you earn your way into heaven through your hard labor, and that idle hands are the devil's playground. Yes, that was absolutely there. But on the other hand, you also had a couple world wars in which the government was telling everyone that hard work is patriotism, that you work long hours because that's how you support the troops. That's how you do your part.
Yeah.
And there's this commercial component of it as well, in the U.S. especially, but other nations. Consumer spending drives our economies.
Yeah.
But there's one further thing that is driving this. It's the myth of the self-made man. It's the bootstraps theory. Just this belief in the virtue of doing it yourself, and that you earn your place in society. When time is money, nobody can afford to waste it. And it wasn't until the industrial age when we started getting paid based on time rather than task accomplished.
This word burnout, we see it everywhere. People use it all the time right now. Are we battling back for our right to rest?
I actually think the younger generations are beginning to take up this battle, which makes me very happy. I mean, burnout in and of itself, it's probably used too much. But I say it at the same time that I don't think it's used enough. Like, I don't think our policymakers and our corporate leaders are using burnout enough. They don't understand the severity of the problem. The World Health Organization already said that we were headed for an epidemic of burnout before the pandemic.
So what do you do? Because let's not let the fact that you are said yes to this interview about rest, that you are actually here doing it.
I mean, no, the book is called Do Nothing, but I'm not saying don't do anything. The thing of it is that when you start actually respecting your body's own rhythms and giving it the rest that you need, the irony is you actually become more productive. You get things done in a shorter amount of time. Why? Because your brain is rested and healthy. Your body is rested and healthy.
But you write that when you started your own business, you had to learn not to be a terrible boss to yourself, and that now you had to learn to do this. You had to build in lots of breaks into your schedule so you wouldn't drive yourself into the ground.
Yeah. And, you know, it's also true that some of my ability to craft my schedule is based on privilege, right? I have been in a situation where I've been holding down 6 or 7 different jobs in order to make ends meet. And that was a tough, tough time. But the truth of it is that you can find 5 or 10 minutes, and not doing that is going to make everything so much harder. It's really easy to get just kind of tunneled down in your stress and your crisis, and you're in fight or flight mode, and you're like, I don't have time for anything right now. But if you can just walk around the block, when you come back, your body recovers. It's beautiful. Take a breath. You know, I do a check-in a couple times a day where I just close my eyes and I imagine I'm in a standing MRI machine and I just scan through my body, not to change anything, just to note, how are you feeling? Where's the tension in your body? What feels good? What feels bad? How are you doing? And so you start to become actually aware of yourself. And that's how you know you're resting, is because you feel rested. Truly rested.
That's journalist Celeste Headlee. You can see her talk and hundreds more. Just go to TED.com or check out the TED app. Thank you so much for listening to the final episode in our 3-part series, Work, Play, Rest. If you missed the first 2 shows, just go back in your feed and take a listen. Because it feels like we're constantly looking for balance between these 3 fundamental ways we spend our time. But what I've taken from this series is that self-help strategies only do so much. Sometimes the antidote to burnout or languishing is learning about wild scientific research or new kinds of activism or the process of making joyful music. It's that interdisciplinary mix that can make us believe we humans still have it in us to care for each other, maybe even fix the things that are broken. This episode was produced by Katie Monteleone, Rachel Faulkner, James Delahousie, and Deba Motisham. It was edited by Sanaz Meshkinpour, Rachel Faulkner, and James Delahousie. Our TED Radio production staff also includes Matthew Cloutier, Fiona Guerin, and Sylvie Douglas. Our audio engineer is Brian Jarbo, and our intern is Margaret Serino. Our theme music was written by Ramtin Arablouei. Our partners at TED are Chris Anderson, Colin Helms, Anna Phelan, Michelle Quint, Sammy Case, and Daniela Balarezzo. I'm Manoush Zomorodi, and you've been listening to the TED Radio Hour from NPR.